Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 5, please. Joshua, chapter 5. Thank you, Lord, for a perfect book that you've given us, that it's without error. It's inerrant. It's infallible. There isn't even a possibility that it could not be absolute truth. Inspired of thee, I pray that we will appreciate our Bible and will appreciate the things that are in it as well. Learn and grow from the different stories and things that have happened in history through this beautiful historical book you've given us, so that we might know how to be saved and then how to live our Christian lives, so we'll be prepared to meet you soon. Bless in the preaching of the Word of God. I need your power. I pray that you might have your blessing on our ears, that we might be able to hear what the Spirit would say to you personally and us personally, Lord, that we would hear what the Spirit would say to the churches. Bless as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 5. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt, that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, and they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all of the people that were born in the wilderness, the way that they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, to all of the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. But they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had all done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, and even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. I hope you know the story by now of the nation of Israel the people of Israel in a land called Egypt. And they were made slaves, and they got bigger and bigger in Pharaoh. As I preached last week about Moses even. He made an edict to kill all of the male children that would be born. So Moses, by miraculous, went ahead and came out of Egypt when he was 40 years old. He was raised by Pharaoh. But God told Moses, I got a job for you. I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to bring the 10 plagues upon Pharaoh, because he won't let the people go. And that 10th plague, there were 10 plagues. That 10th plague was the firstborn of every family would die unless they had the blood of the lamb on their doors, above the doorway, and on the lintels, and the sides, so that when the death angel came, it passed over them. And that's where the Israelites have that peace, that feast of the Passover that it's talking about. God is a preparing God. God always has a plan. Everything we're going through now, there's a plan about all of this. We can't see it now, but we need to, just by faith, walk through the land, because we know He has a plan. And when you have a plan, you must prepare for what's to come next. So He's a preparing God. And He tells His people to prepare. And He instructs them how to prepare. And this morning, as I preach this portion of Scripture to you, it's for you to apply to your life. How are you preparing in your life before you go into the land? Because you will one day. Israel had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they did not have enough faith to go into the promised land. God was angry with that. It's impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11:6 tells you. God was angry with the people. 3 million people coming out of Egypt. And so they had to wander for 40 years. The ones that did not have faith, they died during that 40 years. But they had children. And this is what Joshua, after Moses struck the rock, and God said, now you can't take the people into the land. He said, Joshua will lead the people. So Joshua, Moses' right-hand man, he was used of God to take the people in to the promised land. But you had to cross a river. A river, the Jordan River. Miraculously, a miracle happened that they could go across the river and get themselves on the other side by God doing the great miracle. They had just crossed the river. This is the setting I'm giving you of what was going on here. And it looks like the enemies of Israel, they heard about the miracle of going across the Jordan River by the river being dried up so that the people could walk over into the promised land. Why? God prepared it that way. God had a plan. He delivered them from bondage of Egypt. God did. And they've already gone through a harsh wilderness journey. When they were in the wilderness, they had manna to eat. God gave them food. Gave them some birds sometimes, quail to eat. He gave them water from a rock. He gave them shade by night. and light by night. He allowed their clothes and their shoes to last the entire 40 years. Put goodwill out of business, amen. He gave them the law to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Israel were the people of the Lord. They were the people of the law, and they were the people of the land. Now they had finally arrived in the promised land. Their days of wandering were over. The days of possessing the land has finally arrived. But there's always some preparations. I'm preaching, preparing to enter your Canaan this morning. God gave some very clear steps for them to be ready to enter into their Canaan. He always has used these steps to prepare his people to enter into the promised land. You know, God has given you some steps to enter into your Canaan too. Steps to prepare. To prepare. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you saved this morning? Do you know that for sure? Second of all, are you living the Christian life? If you claim to be a Christian, are you living as a Christian? Are you prepared? Because there will be a judgment. We all will give an account. If we want to go deeper into the land, then we need to get deeper with the Lord, even this morning. A few things I've noticed as I studied this, verses 1 through 7, that we read already. It was all about circumcision. You wouldn't think God would take so much time, so many verses, on circumcision. Very important to God. He gave them back in Genesis chapter 17 that every male baby that was born, that he was to be circumcised of the foreskin on the eighth day. And scientists and medicine has finally caught up with the Bible, because the best time for a baby to have any kind of surgery is on the eighth day. A lot of things go into that. God said it in the first of all. Did I say there's steps? Yeah. First step is to have your male child circumcised. And that was to be the people of God. It was a picture of the covenant that he would have with Abraham, God's people. So it's a big thing to God. He's trying to get them prepared so they could be blessed in the promised land. Circumcision is very important. If you have followed my suggestion to get the little book, None of These Diseases, you need to get it. If you didn't, it's very cheap, by a medical doctor that's a Christian. He lays down things you never heard about before. Normal doctors won't tell you because they don't even know. But he brings it up with the Bible as well. The sexually transmitted diseases, gonorrhea, syphilis, especially. Gonorrhea is because of males not being circumcised. That's where it came from. And of course, then when the male goes into the female, he spreads that, and then others and so forth, and it goes back and forth, and it became a plague. People were dying from it. Their whole bodies were eaten up. If they just obeyed what God said in the first place. Those that were born during the 40 years of wilderness had not been circumcised. It tells you very clearly there. I told you it was a picture of the covenant, the promise God had with his people. God wouldn't let them get into Canaan with his blessing until everybody was circumcised. All of the males. And of course now, most of them were men. You know, 40 years of age and younger. And he said all of them had to be circumcised to renew the covenant. That's a necessary thing that God has said. He doesn't do anything just for fun. He does it, there's a reason, there's a plan. And so he knows how to keep us well. But you know what? When you get into the New Testament now, the circumcision, physical circumcision of men in the Old Testament, picture are us in the New Testament spiritually. Colossians 3 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime, but when ye lived in them, but now ye also are put off all these, anger and wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He goes on in 2 Corinthians 6 to say, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, what he's saying, anything that does not glorify God and edify the church and help you grow in the Lord, it needs to go. Needs to go. You fill up your trash cans at home as full as you can get them, and then you take the garbage out. That's what you need to do in your life, Christian. Don't live in the garbage can or around the garbage can anymore. Take it out. Get rid of it out of your life. God's preparing this people to go into his promised land. You wonder why you don't have the victory in a lot of areas of your life. You carrying around garbage with you, weights, things that are unpleasing to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. To the Jew, circumcision was a reminder that the Jew is a marked people. And when we get saved from the same book that the Jews get saved from, we become his people. He doesn't require us to have the physical circumcision, but he does the spiritual circumcision. We need to get rid of the things in our life that displease the Lord. Circumcision was to be an outward reminder of the inward work of faith. Deuteronomy 10:16 says, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked." You've seen people that are proud and stiff-necked and stubborn and rebellious, and they call themselves Christians. They haven't had the circumcision of their heart. They're not tender. Walking proud. He tells you right there in Deuteronomy 10. But in our case, in the New Testament, it's a similar truth. Colossians 2:11. Let's go look at it. The book of Colossians chapter 2. Nothing's in the Bible by happenstance. There's a reason for all of it. He's got a plan, and he wants you to prepare. He wanted them to prepare, and he wants you to prepare. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant in those things." The old natures have been judged and condemned by God. So the believers have to separate themselves from that old life, from those old sins. How important it is for us to do that. Go to Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" If you're dead to sin, there isn't sin in your life, don't live in it. Don't live in it. Don't play with sin. Clean up. Get right. Verse 12. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." Before I was saved, I had all kinds of different habits in my life that ruled my life. I had to have alcohol. I had to have my whiskey and need to have beer every day. I was a drunk. I smoked a pack every day, cigarettes, cigars, pipes, you name it. I put all of that filth in my lungs. I was unsaved, didn't know anything about the truth. But I had to have it. That was ruling my life. First thing in the morning, I had to have a cigarette. Every time I ate, I had to have a cigarette. All kinds of different things went on in my life. I won't extrapolate on them for sure. But God says, if you're a new creature in Christ, then all things are the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Take out the garbage, Christian. Prepare to go into the Canaan land. Prepare to live where God's people live. He has steps. He wouldn't let the Israelites in until they got that circumcision done. And these other things that I'm going to talk about as well. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the scriptures. Amen? If we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stop putting it off. Act upon what God says. Don't be disobedient to God. You'll be sorry. I want the best for you. I'm trying to help you this morning. You say, Pastor, you don't love. This is called tough love. Amen. The truth has to be preached. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. When the truth of the Bible is preached, He takes it and He uses it as a tool to circumcise your heart. So you'll be tender to the things of God and live like you should as a Christian. Number two, we must take the step of confirmation. First of all, we need to take the step of circumcision, then we need to take the step of confirmation. Back in our text there in verse 8, I hope you didn't lose your text. Should know better by now. In verse 8 it says, when they had done circumcising, they abode in the camp until they were whole. In other words, they were hurting. All of the fighting men were temporarily disabled and rendered unable to fight. Genesis 34:24 talks about that also. They had to heal. In other words, they were vulnerable to attack from their enemies. What was going to carry them through? When they couldn't fight back physically, what do you got to use? Shout it out. Faith. Faith. God will protect you. God will protect you when you can't. And that's what they had to take that step. It's a step of confirmation that they would have their faith. It's the secret to success in getting into the Canaan land. We often face times of testing within our lives, trials. Sometimes we're tested every day. Guarantee you, I would not want to be the President of the United States. Wow, enemies abound. You'll get no truth, by the way, from the media. Those television shows and CBS and all the rest of them, it's a rat hole. They don't tell the truth at all. You know what's right coming from the Bible. Do what's right because God has said so. Keeping your place in Joshua, go to John 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. You know, we think we can do all of this by ourselves, but you can't. Amen. John 15 is known for the passage of Christ, the true vine. Get that in your memory bank. But to shorten time, go and drop down to verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. I have a different translation. The Drake translation says, you are just the branches. But God is the vine. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You trying to do something? You can't do it without Christ. Trials, tribulations, decisions, things you need to take care of, you can't do it without Christ. These are steps preparing you to go into the great victory of Canaan land. After Israel had just came in from a great victory, is when they started getting puffed up with pride. We're unstoppable. Look at us. Yeah, pride always bring down any man, any woman. We start thinking that way. Tells you in verse 1 there of Joshua that we're studying that when they heard about the Jordan thing, it struck fear into the hearts of their enemies. God's always able to lead you through when you don't think you can. Oh, Pastor, I can't do this. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Take out the garbage, then you can. God's always able to sustain you through anything you go through. Look at Noah. God sustained him, the ark. Everybody else in the world lost their lives. Look at the firstborn in Israel that I just mentioned in Exodus 12. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were kept alive in the fiery furnace, brother. Look at Daniel. God protected him in a den of hungry lions. Look at Elijah. God fed him with ravens by a brook. God sustained him with meal and oil at a widow's house, 1 Kings 17. Look at Paul. When he was attacked and he had that thorn in the flesh, he gave him sufficient grace to go through it. What I'm trying to tell you, you can depend on the Lord. He's the same God today as he was back then. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched up arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. 32:27 says, Behold, I am the Lord. The God of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me? No, he's still able to do it. Ephesians 3:20 will tell you that as well. It's a good chapter for you to read this afternoon to follow up this message. But right here in Joshua 6, we see verse 9. He says, This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Interesting words that he used there. Rolled away the reproach. Gilgal means to roll. You got to take the step of contemplation. What was the reproach of Egypt? They came out of Egypt and they were not circumcised. That was a reproach to that people. They had to get that done first of all. Big deal with God, whether it's a big deal with you or not. Turn also refers to two events of those wanderings. The children made a golden calf and worshipped it. He said, that's a reproach. Everybody in the world knows that. Listen, it's wrong when God's people go out and have an idol and just live the way that you want. Go ahead and make a spectacle of yourself, getting drunk and living just like the world does and everything else. He doesn't want his people to be a stumbling block before the unsaved world, let alone before the people of God. God says things have to be right. You got to take some steps of contemplation about that. Think about that. And then the reproach of Kadesh Barnea. That's where they did not have enough faith to go into the land. They sent out 40 spies, or 12 spies. 10 spies. 10 spies? 12 spies. Yes. Yeah, that's right, 8 and 2. How could I forget the song I taught you? You know I'm getting old now.
12 were meant to spy, okay, and 10 were bad, and 2 were good.
Yeah, 12. Okay. So I was right. I'm not.
I just sing the song to remember.
I'm not senile yet. Hang in there.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was at Kadesh Barnea. They just didn't go into the land like God told them to. No, they sent out spies. Hey, did you know it's better to do things God's way because he's the one that has the plan and he's the one that is prepared? He was prepared for them to go in and they wouldn't have had to go through any of this stuff they had to go through. Do you know that happens in a lot of Christians' lives too? If they just do what the Bible said in the first place, they wouldn't be in the hot mess they are today. Then they want to blame somebody else for it. They displayed unbelief. It was a reproach. On both occasions, it angered the Lord so much, the Lord threatened to destroy the nation of Israel. His anger waxed hot, is what it says in the good book. And Moses said, oh, wow, take it easy, Lord, you know. And so he interceded for the people, Moses did. That's why they're still alive and in any of this still happened. Moses the man, he stood in, but Moses is just flesh. Because Moses, on another occasion, got so angry with the people of God, God had to slow him down. No, wait a minute, Moses, take it easy, and so forth. Somebody said if Moses and God were angry at the same time, everybody would be gone. Amen. Sometimes you need to be a peacemaker. Not a troublemaker, I say. A peacemaker. The Egyptians would have something to mock God if God killed them. So here at Gilgal, it was rolled away. There was a new day. Been forever rolled away. You know your sins when you got saved? Rolled away. That's a song like that. I have to look it up and get it. We don't sing much. That's what your souls are. Gilgal, roll away. Forever. The reproach is of the past. Don't carry the reproach with you. Many of us have failed the Lord since we were saved. Some of us are living under constant stab of self-condemnation right now. God doesn't want that. So take care of it. Take the steps that's necessary. Isaiah 38 and also Isaiah 43 tells you that your sins are gone. We know that chorus, don't we? Gone? Let's sing it. Ready? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E. Gone. Final. Kaput. Garbage out. Keep it out. Clean house and keep it clean. Don't be lazy. God gave you a body, exercise it. Did you know God gave you sweat glands for a reason? It's the sweat, yeah. We just sit around and watch TV. One guy said, you ever look for the remote control, but you can't find it? So you just decide, I guess I'm not watching TV. I'm not going to get up and take 2 steps and turn it on myself. I'll go to the gym if I'm going to work out. That's about as much workout as a lot of Christians get. We need to be busy for the Lord, no doubt about it. These are the last days. We need not to have approach upon ourselves or bring it upon our church or our Lord. The requirement for participating in the Passover. Did you see verses 10 through 12? They kept the Passover. Amen. They also celebrated it in Egypt. They celebrated it at Mount Sinai. They celebrated it nearly 40 years later. The new generation had not been circumcised. That's a requirement for the Passover. You couldn't take the Passover if the male wasn't circumcised. Did you know God wants everything done decently and in order? Decently and in order. Keep it in order. I'm the pastor of the church. My responsibility is the under-shepherd to keep things in order. Some things I don't want to do, but some things have to be done. We're not going to have a whole church be a disgrace to the outside world or even other churches. We're going to keep things done decently and in order. They were to remember that night. That's what the Passover is all about. They need to remember the blood. So we must constantly call to mind those things in our lives too. Hey, don't forget that day you got saved. Hey, don't forget the joy that you had knowing for sure you're going to heaven. Hey, remember those things. The Passover is given every year that they remember, they remember, they remember. Do you ever notice how quickly you forget things? That's why the Lord said to even take the Lord's table. We're not doing it right now because of this hand touch and 6 foot away and all of this stuff going on. I can't wait till all this is straightened out where we can safely go ahead and remember the Lord. But the whole thing is you need to do it in your mind. You need to do it by faith. You need to remember. That's one of the things to enter into that land of Canaan. They didn't eat the manna any longer. I'm going to close in a minute. Unless I see a sour face, then I'll preach another half hour. But anyway, they didn't eat the manna that they had eaten for 40 years. How would you like to eat the same thing every day? Every day. You had nothing to look forward to the next day. Just manna to keep you alive. 40 years. Boy, they got into Canaan and said, praise the Lord, no more manna. I like to eat berries and stuff like that. That's real good for you. Sister Betty down here, she brought me some elderberries as she does every year as well. I woof those down, amen. I love those. And blueberries I get cheap at Aldi's, you know. And I like to keep good things going. They ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan, is what the Bible said, and you read. The whole thing is, it's easy for God to bring his people out of Egypt, but it was hard for God to get Egypt out of his people. Forget the things of Egypt. Embrace the things of Canaan. How much do you really love the Lord? How much do you really love the preaching of the word? How much do you really love the church? Love the people of God. The book. You read it every day. You need to get on Canaan's side, brother. Those are the steps you need to take to be right with God so that you can get God's blessing in your life. Blessings are better than curses, I'll guarantee you that. God didn't save us just to satisfy our hunger with the things of the world. He saved us so that we might learn to enjoy Him and feed off the things He gives to us. Prepare to enter Canaan. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to understand it, apply it in our own personal lives, take godly stands, do the hard thing, not the easy thing. Help us to please You, not ourselves. Thank You for the example of Joshua and the people of God. You're the same God today. The same things anger You and the same things cause Your blessings. Help us to change our lives for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord.